let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. Symbols are part of our society, but where words change, biblical symbols remain the same. In her study of symbols, author Connie Anderson used a literal meaning of a word, unless the word is a number or symbol. Fish, for instance, associated with the words of Jesus, who invites us to be fishers of men, not real sharks, crabs, or clownfish. Symbols anciently explained events in world history. Connie Anderson returned to Nebraska, where she is a fifth-generation homesteader, a bird watcher, retired dental hygienist, professional artist, red hat lady. Connie came to seeking to find her grandmother's peace of mind and found contentment in God. Connie Anderson, author of The Red Horse, War Against God's Government, is our guest on today's This Week in America. Connie, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Nice to meet you. Thank you.
It is a pleasure to have you here. So much to talk about during the course of the program. And you were saying, as it was just as we were getting started, you really don't consider yourself an author. Explain that, because it's a little bit more than just writing, isn't it? The message that you have. Where does this come from?
I'm a registered dental hygienist who's retired, and I was going ahead to get my degree in children's elementary education, and the class was writing a book. And about that time, I became aware of this author, C. Mervyn Maxwell, who wrote, "Imagine if you can today, a third world army coming into Washington, D.C. and setting fire to the Pentagon and White House." And as I begin to study how he did it, he approached the Bible-like parables of Jesus. It's the honor of the king, of God, to hide a matter, but it's the honor of kings and queens to hide a matter. So this whole idea of parables then kind of exploded into a way to portray these images, these Bible symbols. So when we go back and we look at the actual text of 9/11 in the Bible, it's something like a great mountain on fire is thrown into a sea. But when Jesus wrote this 1,925 years ago, he also wrote in the back of Revelation 7:15 that God is talking not about a sea with fish, he's talking about a sea of humanity.
Interesting.
So I was watching a Cornhusker football game, and Cornhuskers were down to the 1 yard line, and they just had to make the goal. And there was a big pile up, and the stadium, 97,000 people just went silent. And finally, the announcers, "What a sea of humanity!" And so that's what we have in this prophecy. It's a nautical parable about where waters are people, multitudes of people, nations, cultures, and something like a mountain on fire is thrown into a sea of humanity. And it turns out that New York City seems to be about the most cosmopolitan city in the world. So what we saw was something that no one could understand in the days of Jesus, an airplane on fire thrown into the sea of humanity. But when we actually get into this parable, we hear the words, "The second angel sounded." And each one of those is a Bible symbol. And in the Bible, seven is the perfect number, because it's the days of creation God created. So you have the second of seven angels, which is the completion of the mystery of God. And then you have an angel, which can be good or bad. And that's what makes us unique, is we know good and evil, whereas there is a place in heaven where they've never seen such things going on that they're seeing down here on earth.
What a fascinating story. And then you've got the Cornhusker Nation in there, too, with the Sea of Humanity. I love that. If there's ever a Sea of Humanity...
Well,
It's a home game for the Cornhuskers. With us on the program is Connie Anderson. We're talking about the book, The Red Horse, War Against God's Government. With all of this, to take on a project like writing the book, Decoding the Bible Prophecy of 9/11, 2001, why did you decide to write that? What an undertaking to take on a project like that.
Well, my son came home from college, spring break, 2002, and he asked me, "Mom, what happens after 9/11? And I thought it was really a strange question. But now we're 19 years after 9/11, and it's like, oh, look what happened. There's been 2 million Islamic people who have had visions and dreams. They've seen Jesus, and they've come to know Jesus Christ as the prophet. And they have come to see their own religion. The Bible says even our enemies agree with this, that this fanatical rise of people killing people in the name of God doesn't go over. So that's how the government comes into it. In our elections, we've seen people questioning the motives of each other.
Yes.
And so we are wondering, you know, where is the perfect government, and how can we judge people correctly and not misjudge people? So it was my son's question in 19 years ago that came me to understand we can understand Bible prophecy now like we never could before.
Connie Anderson, our guest on the program, talking about this fascinating work that she has done. When Walder went back to college, what did you do at that point?
Well, I was recently divorced. My husband ran off with the wife of the football coach. And I had time. If this was the second trumpet of the seven trumpets, then there was trumpet number 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So I just busied myself with trying to draw pictures of these symbols. But the one that is most offensive on my chart is the symbol of the little lamb dying and the blood pouring into the bowl and the knife used to cut the little lamb's neck. And that is the thing that just drives mothers crazy. They don't want to see the death of a lamb. And yet, it is supposed to be repulsive to Christians because we don't want to hurt Jesus and we don't want to see him dying. That's one of the symbols of the many symbols.
It's just go ahead.
Well, on my chart, I have a sword, you know, and when God says he's going to pick up his sword, and he's sitting on his red horse. You know, he's sitting there watching his enemies kill his enemies. He's not using it to hurt anybody. This is the sword of truth or the spirit of truth. And that's why I kind of like the Indian lore of the spirit, you know, trying to do things in the right spirit. So to me, this brings out the spirit of God. And then if you go to Revelation 9:11, and it says they have a king. And if you're in the wrong Bible, you don't have the translation in English, but it's in Hebrew and Greek, and in English is, he is the king of the destroyers. So I want to be on God's side. I want to be among those who are happy to see the oriole fly in and
Well, I know
robin.
That you ended up taking a two-week evangelistic series in Romania with Jesus Christ being the focus of that. What did you do? When did you do this?
What did you learn? Well, in Romania, the Romanian Orthodox priests say, I will not do your funeral on a Bible, study a Bible, or translate a Bible. And then they tell the people, and we won't do the funeral of your friend. So basically, they'll go to hell, because without the intervention of the priest, they don't have a chance. So when I came home, and then I wrote this book, the first question, you know, was, who gave you the authority to do this?
Yes, yes.
You know, and it's like, oh, I was just in Romania. Should I get the authority of the priest? Well, I ended up getting put in jail because I am too zealous with my paintbrush. Being an artist, I had a chance to paint the baptistry in our new little church. And when they told me I could no longer teach Bible symbols, I was taking, you know, this extra education to get my degree in teaching children. I was teaching the children these Bible symbols. And when the kids drew humanity, you know, and then they threw something like a mountain of fire on fire into it, they started drawing people falling out of the buildings and ambulances. And they were drawing pictures of 9/11. And when I did it in front of the minister, he drew the Twin Towers in Kuala Lumpur as a sea of humanity. But the Muslims wouldn't naturally attack their own country, you know, like
yes.
It's a Malaysian country. So because the children were drawing these pictures, that's when I actually decided to write the book. I mean, I'm teaching them Bible symbols, and they're drawing pictures of 9/11.
It's just a fascinating book and an experience with the author, our guest on the program, Connie Anderson. The book is The Red Horse, War Against God's Government. It's available at Amazon. You can link on to it by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I know you came back from Romania. You mentioned divorce from your husband. You moved from California to Nebraska, thus the Cornhusker fan when you moved out to that part of the country. Talk about that move from California to Nebraska. How did that happen?
Well, this is where my experience has been led, you know, in a supernatural way. I came to this lady's house, and she said, are you the person I've been praying for? And I looked at her, and Reba Schaefer is one of the town older ladies, and she was also a friend of my mother's. They played the girl together as girls on the farm. Anyway, she had this list, and she wanted a dentist who would work in our clinic here. She wanted his wife to be a homeschool teacher. She wanted someone to be a physician assistant, and she wanted a Bible worker. And I have a son who was in dental school. I had another son who was applying, you know, at Union College to take a physician's assistant. And I was eager to, of course, share my experience, you know, from Romania and giving evangelistic meetings. It was awesome. So because I fulfilled all of her requirements, I actually came here to be a Bible worker and end up getting thrown in jail. I'm sorry if I laugh because it's...
Yeah, and we'll get to that. All the problems that you had in sharing this message, and I want to go back for a second to this idea that you had to translate the Bible using symbols and numbers. How did that all begin for you?
Well, you know, I was taught in Sabbath school, I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men. You know, and we teach the children, you know, Jesus is your friend. And even though you can't see him, you know he's there because, you know, he's leading you.
Yes.
So I have been teaching the youth from the cradle on up to being chaperones to the high school group that went to Europe. So this desire for the children to pick up on these symbols, my son traveled with me a lot. I had a motor home and they kite, so I'm the kite slave. But when he would get cranky, I bought a crab and I put it in his bed. And I said, okay, now there's two crabs in bed. There's something about Bible symbol that enriches dialogue. And you being an answer, you know, you can talk about sports, and you love to hear these things they say because they're like symbols, you know.
Yes.
That it makes sports announcing more flavorful. So working with kids is really fun because they don't have any preconceived ideas about, you know, about God, and he's trustworthy, and he still is trustworthy.
That's a great way to get the message across. The book we're talking about is The Red Horse, War Against God's Government by Connie Anderson. The book's available at Amazon, the usual places. And boy, the time is going by here so quickly. I want to talk about this. You wrote the book on decoding the Bible prophecy.
Right, of 9/11.
Yes.
But it's only, and so then as I begin to put, I begin to accumulating so many pictures and so much study that I actually went down to the local Morris Press and had them just going to have it. Well, they said, well, Connie, you've got all this stuff. You've got to put pictures to go with it. So that's how it begins. So it started off being a lesson, and then it became a book, and then it became a bigger book, and then it became another bigger book, and now I'm getting it back to a littler book. So the prophecy of 9/11 is in The Red Horse. It's about chapter 3.
Well, this is so fascinating, and there's so much really solid information in there, and we're going through, this time is going by so quickly because this is a fascinating conversation with the author and our guest on the program, Connie Anderson. You were at what actually sued by your own church as you were doing this project, right?
They came, the minister and the head elder came to my house, and they said they were going to sue me for writing the book, The Seven Thunders. And so I called the attorney, and I said, I've given all these books away, and I'm sorry I've offended you, because I just put that in there if somebody wanted to donate money. You know, I had paid for the book myself.
Yes.
Well, during the divorce, I received some money, and now I don't have any left. I wasn't in this to make money, and it just sort of got out of hand big size. So I have this big chart of symbols, and as it progresses, it must come in its order. And as it progresses, it produces a prophecy about Islam and the Islamic people. And they are really, really wonderful people. And when I took my trips to Jerusalem, I got to Jericho, and we were getting in the cab that takes you up to the top of the Mount of Temptation. It's a gondola. It's a chairlift.
Oh, yes, yes.
And this little girl sat across. She was definitely a Muslim girl. And she was surrounded by a younger man and woman and his dad. He said, let me introduce you. And so come to find out, she's traveling incognito. She has found Jesus Christ as a Messiah. And she gave her testimony, and her testimony was, Jesus came to her in a vision and said, follow me. And he came again, and he said, follow me. And she put a little hand out, and I just wanted to grab it and hold her, because that's what I've been praying, is that the Holy Spirit, you know, will be sent out, and God will bring people to him, because he can protect them from the destroyer. And the way they teach in India, you know, when people are demon-possessed, they say, I am saved by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus Christ is my Savior. And that was the first night this little girl in town had invited demons into her house, and she was supposed to be watching her little baby sister. They were making noise in the attic, and they were pushing beds, making noise anyway, so she was sleeping during the day. Well, her mother had remarried, and the man had three sons, and they raped her little sister. So she started this prayer, you know, I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ is my Lord, and that was the first time that she had peace. But by then, the mother had lost custody of her child, so
yes.
They start putting their family back together.
We've got a couple minutes left in the program, and I've got two things I really want to get to in briefer form than I had hoped, but there are so many interesting topics that we covered on the program today. Why is the government of God important to mankind? And then the question I think a lot of us struggle with is, it is there truly such a thing as a government that can have good and no evil? So, and it's not fair to say you've got 2 minutes to answer both those questions, but give it your best shot, because those are both really difficult questions.
Everybody is asking, you know, what government can I trust? You know, who shall I be loyal to?
Yes.
And these elections have been about judging the motives of the president. And that is why when they're developing these artificial intelligences, are we going to put our hands our lives into the hands of a computer that says, well, you're guilty because you fit in this profile. So we should be caring about what our government is trying to separate, you know, the good people from the evil people. The second question is can there be a government where people are happy? And I just remember as a kid, we would go jeeping in Colorado, and we would have about 17 jeeps, and we'd all have Sabbath school up on the mountain. And I just remember the euphoria of, you know, this blessed be the tie that when my grandpa sent his youngest son off to North Korea to war, and my other grandpa sent his son off to Korea, they both became converted. They wanted to be right with God. They wanted their sons to come home safe, and they did. So this idea of having this supernatural help from God, who has twice as many angels as the devil does, I think it's something you have to experience. I mean, if you ever get in a problem and you say, God, help me, he's listening.
Yes. It's been such a fascinating conversation, and I will direct you to the book. I wish we had more time, but the book will answer a lot of your questions, give you a lot of insight that Connie shares during the course of the book. The book is The Red Horse, War Against God's Government by Connie Anderson. If you're Googling, it's typical spelling for both Connie Anderson. The book's available at Amazon, all the usual places. You can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Connie, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you for sharing your story, your vision, your thoughts. It's been really enjoyable having you with us on the program. We could take hours in talking about all of this, and maybe we will do a follow-up later, but it's been a pleasure. Thank you for being with us.
I just hope everybody that's in this predicament will find a sanctuary of peace in getting to know God, and in opening their Bible and finding that they can go to their computer and do a Bible search, and you can look up any word and find out the figurative meaning of it, you know, the spiritual meaning.
Well, the book is The Red Horse, War Against God's Government. Connie Anderson has been our guest. Book available at Amazon. Link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Connie, thank you again for joining us. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
You.
We're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.